Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to claim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us. Today is March 28th, 2017. And thank you for joining us, and thank you for sharing our radio station and my show with your friends and family. You do have to let them know that we're online at www.ucy.tv/AOF. I'm here, the Age of Vision radio show, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. And I make every effort to bring us awesome activists and people who are making a change. Our vision is to save our planet, to reverse the harm that's been done, and to create a world that we can live in peace in. And to that end, today I have our guest, Mimi Gurman, who called in last week and talked a little bit about the activism she's doing here in Portland. She founded No Nukes Northwest and radcast.org. No Nukes Northwest, that's NONUKESNW.org. And Radcast, RADCAST.org. And they serve kind of two different functions, but around the same topic of saving the Northwest from being destroyed, permanently destroyed from nuclear. We believe there's a solution. So, Mimi, thank you for joining us, although that's not what you're here to talk to us about, but thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I asked Mimi to come back on to talk about, she's currently very actively engaged in social justice causes in Portland right now from city council. If you heard her call in last week, she was talking about city council meeting. She's talking about, and she's actively engaged in demanding justice for the Black community who in our country apparently don't matter. So, Mimi, why don't you talk about what's been going on in Portland? And frankly, across America, this is not just Portland. This is what happens everywhere, and it's time for it to stop.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about with what has been going on in the last 2 months. Well, actually, since February 9th with this particular issue, and that particular issue is yet another cop murder of a Black child. And that cop has now been freed. He was never taken into custody in the first place, but the grand jury said that he did everything right. So no punishment for the cop. That doesn't mean – so the child's name is Quanis Hayes. And Quanis Hayes was 17. I'll just bring you through the story so that we can talk about what's been going on. So – Quanis Hayes was a Black 17-year-old, the son of Venus Hayes, and the oldest brother of five siblings. And he was loved in his community.
Wow.
And he used to hang out at the community center. Everybody loved him. And nobody's perfect. He's a kid. He's a teenager, you know? So what happened was one morning on February 9th, there was a report that somebody was held at gunpoint in a car, and and then I think there was some theft that occurred, and somebody's stuff was stolen.
Yeah, but it wasn't
So the
what I
report.
read when it was a food card was stolen.
So what ended up happening was the cops went on a search for a black man. I mean, that was the description. It was a black man. And the cops, as they were patrolling a neighborhood, saw a door that they said was kicked in. So they went in and they saw a mud print, like a footprint in mud, like a shoe print in mud. And they decided to, they got the canines and they went around the neighborhood, around that house, and they saw Quanis Hayes hiding in a alley. This is where it gets super heinous. They told him to come out. What we read in the paper is completely different from what was said in the transcripts,
Why
which
was he
just came out.
hiding?
And
Do they know why he was hiding?
any what happens is any black child knows that there is a fear of cops because they have been their entire history is about you have to fear the cops because the cops will kill you. So children are not going to run to those they fear, right? If a cop says, come over here, you're going to be scared. You're a kid. You're going to go the other way. So any kid who sees a cop is likely to run the other way when they see those cops coming because cops are known to kill black people. This is
Me too.
the
To be frank,
reality. Right.
I'm
Me too.
inclined to run away and hide. I'd be hiding if I saw them coming and looking for something.
And while I tell this story, I want, and it's probably most white people, if I can make this assumption, listening to this show, that, and if you're not talking about you, we say exactly that. Why was this black kid hiding? And then what Lonnie said is, I would hide too. Me too. I do not talk to the cops. The cops are dangerous. In any community, they're dangerous. So this kid hid. And what happened next was where I think this lawsuit is going. They gave this kid instructions that were impossible, impossible to follow. And the instructions were, we want you to crawl out of there. Keep your hands up in the air. Don't touch your waist belt. Crawl out of there. How can you crawl out of somewhere with your hands in the air without keeping balance if your hands were in the air while you're crawling out, right? I mean, this is, again, these are realities, okay? This is how this shit happens. So the cops, Andrew Hurst, is a sharpshooter. He had an AK-47 pointed at Quanis Hayes. He shot him in the head. He shot him in the chest, and he shot him in the torso. And that's what happened. All of the reports that we had earlier, including last night on television news, the television news is different from print news, and the print news is different from its own print news. Okay? So again, we talked about reframing the story last week. Any story is going to be reframed to suit whoever it is who feels like they have the narrative. And in this case, the cops want the narrative. And in this case, and in all cases regarding the cops always have the narrative because, like in Portland, these police did not have to talk to the public about what happened for weeks. And what that means is they got to put their story together.
And they did. If
And they
you
get
read
to,
these
and
transcripts,
they did. They
yes.
made up such a Cinderella story about how they had nothing left to do but kill this black kid, right? Who we don't even know if that kid did this because this kid didn't have an opportunity to go to court and prove himself with his lawyer innocent if he was innocent. No, that isn't what happens here. If
Well,
you're a
they
cop,
shoot to
you get to.
kill. That's
They do shoot to kill. This was a sharpshooter, Lonnie. They
this
sent a
isn't
sharpshooter out.
What do you mean they sent the sharpshooter in to kill?
Yes, they sent a sharpshooter to this. They got in touch with Andrew Hearst, who is a cop.
What does the mayor say about that?
And they sent, the mayor is saying nothing. And so this, I have to say, Andrew Hearst killed a mentally ill man 3 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
And this is why the murders in our city of the mentally ill, specifically the mentally ill, is what brought the Department of Justice here under the Obama administration. The Department of Justice saw what was going on in Portland with the corruption in our police force here. And they came to Portland and said to Mayor Hales, who was the mayor at the time, we want an investigation into your police force. And Mayor Hales said no.
What?
And yeah, he said no. And it was wild. This whole thing was wild. So a judge, Judge Simon, was brought in. He's a federal judge, to not mediate, but he was, I guess, somehow a go-between. I'm not exactly sure of the actual role of Judge Simon, but he was the judge in charge of this, but not for the DOJ. This is sort of like, he's here, Judge Simon. He's in Portland, but he's a federal judge. So now, we've had more killings by cops. Every single cop who has killed a kid here, we've had so many kids here killed by cops, black kids killed here by cops, and so many mentally ill people here killed by cops that it's crazy, and every single one has walked free. There has been no trial. No trial.
I have to say, you know what's popped in my head? This is why you and I work together with No Nukes Northwest. This is why this show is turned into me interviewing you, even though it's called The Age of Fission. We live in the new age of fission, and part of that is the exposure of the complete disregard for human life. They all lie. The corruption, it's not just the corruption, it's the complicity. Not the cops who did the murder and him lying and covering it up. It's everybody else working it out so he doesn't become accountable. Just like the nuclear industry, they're twisting like pretzels to make us think that all these illnesses, all these sicknesses, it's all the avian flu killing the birds. We're losing a million birds a month,
right?
Just about.
Right, rather than dare they
the
say
truth,
it's from radiation
say
levels.
It's uranium.
Mm-hmm.
It's uranium
right.
mining. It's
right.
complete, and not just uranium, it's chemicals, the complete disregard for human life in every
sure.
technology where they make billions of dollars, they don't care. And,
and not to mention
children.
Plastics in our food. You know,
I mean,
all of the plastics that are in our food that we eat, if you're not eating truly organic and local food, which doesn't outdo if you have, you know, radioactive soils. But still, there's so much plastic in people's foods, which is also causing the cancers. But no, they don't talk
about
it.
Well, you know what's really annoying about that? We know about phytoremediation. We know about microbes. We know about canif. We know about cannabis healing the soil. And do they do it large scale? No, they do everything they can to oppress and suppress because it's murder, death, kill. That is really quite literally their motto. I mean, I swear to God. And this is this child. We're shocked because a young black man was murdered. And the whole police department is just clicking their heels, saying Sieg Heil and going along with it. That's the outrage.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the murder of this innocent child. That's bad enough that this guy gets to repeatedly target young black men and mentally retarded people in the city of Portland with impunity.
Right.
It's the whole
right.
system of covering it up. That's the same offense with the nuclear. This is why you're outraged about Columbia Generating Station. They
mm-hmm.
are murdering
mm-hmm.
people every day they keep that thing open and refuse to start looking for solutions. Period.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us, what has happened now with this thing? Because the transcripts, if people read the transcripts, you can see the stupid lies that these guys have practiced it. It is ridiculous.
Well, what happened was the transcripts, only in part, were released to Venus, Qantas Hayes' mother, just like a day ago. And only part of the transcripts were released. And the reason that she knows that is she has a super law team, because she first of all wants a federal investigation, and I'm sure she's going to pursue a case against Andrew Hearst. But
Yeah.
in the meantime, she definitely wants a federal, you know, so if we could get, you know, the feds to come look at this. But the problem with that is look who's in charge of
Yeah.
the Department of Justice now. So it'll be pretty amazing if that ever happens, at least from my perspective. And is it needed? Absolutely. But boy, they're up against a lot because the corruption is so steep, but the lawyers are really good. And what they haven't received yet from the cops or the city is the full medical report. They haven't received the full autopsy. They haven't received the full, they haven't received the full anything or the full transcripts. And they also want every single radio transmission or whatever you call that, you know, interaction that entire day to see how they loaded up against Qantas before finding him, not knowing who they were looking for, but, you know, looking for a black person, right? A black male. And so those haven't come in yet. They haven't released those yet. So they're still holding evidence that is needed to see how this went down and to bring a case against them. And we all know that regardless of what or you know, whatever happened that day, we don't allow and we can't allow our police to be the assassination team of anybody, meaning black kids, who they decide are guilty of something when the fact is what they're guilty of in the eyes of the cops is that they're black. They are guilty of being black and worthy of being shot because we have never moved from the slave mentality that we had 400 or 500 years ago at this point. We have never left that. And the reason that I say that is the responses from the liberal community. Okay, I'm a radical, so I don't really consider liberals are so far to the right as far as I'm concerned. But the white liberal community in Portland has been egregious around this. They have written terrible letters to Teresa Rayford, who is our black leader here of Don't Shoot Portland. They've written racist letters. They've written racist comments on every single article that has come out about Qantas Hayes. And what those statements are basically this. It's good they killed him. He was a thug. Or I'm just, you know, making this up, but this is the tone of it all. And he was guilty, so what do you care?
Mimi, don't you think the assumption is because he was a target of the police, because they even looked at him, he was probably guilty of something because he was black.
What these liberals, what white liberals don't recognize is that what they say when they're saying those things, when they're spewing their racist hate, they're also saying in the same breath, cops have the right to determine the punishment for these kids, regardless
right.
of the fact that we are supposed to have a jury, you know,
well, what's
decide
really
that for us.
Is there's never a conversation of shoot to stop, not shoot to kill. Their job is not
right.
shoot to kill. They're not in a war. These are not their enemies. These people are, most of them do not, they don't, when the guy holds up his arms, if you think he's going for something, shoot his leg out. He's not going to pull out a gun. He's a kid. Shoot his foot
right.
if you need to. But really,
well,
it's ridiculous. Shoot to kill is outrageous. But let's just put it to you this way. Imagine if there was white people, white young men getting killed like this regularly by police.
Oh,
just
my God. Those cops would so be in jail.
Yes. It
there would be indictments on everyone.
Either. And a lot of people will say that's not true. White people get killed by cops a lot more than
Well, I think that the question would be, you know, what would happen if cops were killing middle to upper middle class or wealthy white kids?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you would certainly have indictments for every single one of those cops, and not necessarily for poor white people.
Yeah.
Because who gives a damn about people who live in poverty. It's much easier to just kill them too. But the fact is that when you look at the percentages of who's getting killed by cops, it's not white people, it is black people. There's been close to 300 shootings, murders by cops this year. We're in the third freaking month of this year.
Yeah, I'm looking at a list. There is a list that shows exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of websites. There's a website called something like
January. Check this out. 105 people, not just black and white. 105 in January, 113 in February, and March has not been counted yet. So, but yeah. According to this list, that's how much just this year, 113, that's like 225 people.
Yeah, we have a group here. They're all over the U.S. It's CopWatch. And CopWatch is a great organization. And Dan Handelman here in Portland has just been heroic, and his group, at bringing, not letting this go fly under any radar. So we need people, we need advocates like that. And so if you find your local CopWatch organization, you should really get in touch with them and say, hey, you know, I support you, and drop some money their way, or you know, be supportive. Say, how can I help? You know, do you need calls made? Who do you need calls made to? What do we need to do? Because CopWatch is often run by not necessarily run, but there's a lot of white people in CopWatch who are, you know, we're trying to be as supportive as possible. I'm not with CopWatch, but just, you know, what we need to do as an action as white people is, first of all, check yourself, right? Check your racism, because I can guarantee you that there is racism in you. You know, you drive down a neighborhood that doesn't look familiar to you, you know, and you lock your doors. Right? At racism, you know, because why? You think somebody's just going to, how often do people jump in your car to, like, you know, rob you, right? It's not common. So it's your racism that's responding. So check yourself. And if you ever, and I'm calling everybody out on this, I've called friends out on this in Portland, if you ever deny a black family from their pain and however they express their pain and how the community expresses their pain, whether it's shouting at city council or demanding that things be done, if you ever disqualify that and say, look at you, what's the matter with you, you know, or any kind of racist thought that you might have, it is racist.
Well, you want,
and again,
you want to
have... check yourself.
Yeah, you want to know how deep it is? When you look up, I went to this thing, it's called killedbycops.net, right? And I found
that's Connors the website. Dead. Yes, that's
yes,
the one.
I found it, and it's he was yeah. killed. It shows up here, but the link that they gave, this is how it's written, KOIN6. I guess that's a local news.
That's COIN. It's our news station. Yeah.
Right. The title says armed robbery suspect shot
right.
and killed. Subtitle, investigators
right.
believe there were multiple crime scenes. Nothing about
yeah.
an innocent man was killed. The victim
exactly.
of the robbery, I mean, this is just outrageous. Did the victim say he
it
didn't
is.
Do it?
I don't know that they've even, you know, there's no, that's not even out there.
That would be very interesting.
So, but the thing is that, the thing is that, again, it's been, he was set up. And it could have been Qantas. It could have been anyone
anybody.
We don't know. Anyone. Anybody who wears black skin, who was male. That framing was to that person. It happened to be Qantas that moment. In that moment, it was him. And in any moment, in any city, this happens. I'm outraged. And if you're not outraged, not you, Lonnie, but people listening, if you are not outraged by the fact that our cops are killing black people because they like to pretend that they're not the KKK, but they are the KKK, you are wrong. You are just dead wrong. These are people who are absolutely racist. Okay, let me bring you up to date on two different things that just happened in our police force. This happened Thursday and Friday, okay? Actually, one happened yesterday. What happened yesterday was a cop who was retired 2 years ago. We have this, supposedly we have this, our police force has too few cops. So they're trying to recruit cops to come to Portland, right? So this cop, so one of the rules is that if a retired cop who's already getting a pension, okay, because they're retired cops, he's getting all of his benefits. If that retired cop decides to work in Portland as a cop to come off of retirement, he is not allowed to have his background record checked. So he could have been found as like the most racist cop out there at the time that he was working, right? No one is allowed to know that. Now, hold on. That's not even what happened, okay? That's just how it is here with the new contract that came in under the last mayor in December, okay? But wait. So what happened was this cop who was retired came onto the Portland police force, and yesterday he was thrown off the force. Well, he's actually on paid leave, of course, because during roll call, he was making fun of beating up black men. And one of the cops who heard this cop talking that reported it, and good for him because we know how rare that is, to a supervisor, and that cop is now on leave. Okay? This is Portland.
The one who reported
this happens everywhere.
On leave?
No. The one who said the racist stuff is on leave. Yeah.
Good.
But we don't get to check who the hell is coming into this police force. You know, and we don't check with cops on do they have when they first come in, do they have a record of domestic violence as so many do? Do they have a history as children of animal abuse? Do they have a history of getting thrown out of school because they were beating kids up and bullying?
You know what,
we don't
though,
know.
Amy, when I called the city council, when you called in as a guest maybe last week or so, I did call the city council. And I said, you know what, all this money for military weapons, we should be requiring mandatory therapy for our police officers. It's cruel to expect them to do this job and give them no therapy and just teach them shoot to kill. I just think that's a complete waste of human life on all ends. And you know what? That's really what's wrong. This is why our cops are such horrible racists. They're just like traumatized and they're doing whatever. Their brutality begets brutality. It is just disgusting. I mean, you're right.
It is.
We
plus,
do need
plus
to be
you,
outraged.
You attach groupthink.
What?
The groupthink. You know, I mean, we learned all about that, you know, way back when.
It's lying. These people are covering up. We need to have honor and integrity come back to the police department, and we're not.
Well, I actually don't believe that can ever happen. I do believe that there are no good cops. I do. I'm going to stand with that because that is how I feel about it.
You think
if there are, I think they all have a power issue, and that given a moment like what this cop had done, given that moment, there's a really high likelihood that any cop would have done the same thing. And I don't trust any of them, not one. That's just me. I'm not telling anybody how to think about, you know, for anything, because I don't tell people how to think. I'm just telling you what it is here and how I feel about it. You know, I don't think that therapy, you know, if you want to be a cop, I think there's something wrong with you. That's what I think.
You know what? I can't say I disagree with you because I actually have the same gut feeling. Like, I don't believe in that. I don't trust that. I don't. There's something because I mean, this is the deal. The whole idea of having to patrol and, quote, keep the peace. I mean, our Constitution wasn't written with a police department in it. You know what I mean? We had a militia,
right?
If there was a threat to our society, we had like a civil society where we like, you know, I mean,
Well, the police started, you know, as the White Knights. They were the ones who were going around catching slaves. That's where the police department started, you know, and there's a whole book on that. There's many books on that. But, you know, my thing is that if you do think cops are good and you think most cops are good, or you think any cops are good, I'm betting that chances are really good that you're white. because if you're black, if you're a black mom, if you're a black dad, if you're a black kid, you got three different perspectives on walking out that front door. And each perspective is my son coming home today? Is my mother coming home today? Is my father coming home today? Who's going to land in jail for walking? And I swear to God, this is something in Portland. For walking at a diagonal across a street because you're black, they bust you for that. Swear, I don't even know what that means, and yet it's true. For spitting on a street, which I find abhorrent no matter who does it, if you're black, you will get picked up by a cop if you're black. And of course, you know, profiling in your car, you're going to get stopped. So the prison system is made by cops, by our law system, based on slavery. And its entire intention is to have black kids go from school to jail. And if you get there, if in the process they don't kill you first, and because those of you who are white who are like, God, you're nuts, man. You're just like, you're insane, Mimi. That's a false reality. I'm not insane. I'm passionate about this because I know the reality. And our white perspective is blinding, absolutely blinding. If you call the cops, white person, because you have an issue, you will not be killed. If you're mentally ill in Portland, that's another story. But the mentally ill aren't the ones who call the cops here. It's other people who call the cops on the mentally ill, and then they get killed. So, you know, you're in good standing with not getting killed if you're white, and that's the reality. And if that's where you stop your thought process, if that's where your ideals of racism end, you know, like, I'm fine, I would return the comment back to you to say that that's crazy. That is so self-centered, narcissistic, white, racist as far as a thought process, you know? And
well,
get over yourself.
I will tell you this. It is, that's a reality everywhere, I think, in the, not just Portland is very extreme, I think, because Portland was written as a white state. Let's just be clear.
Yes,
Portland's
it was.
A very racist state.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the roots are deep here with people that live here. It was shocking to me. I did not know that about Portland. I mean, about Oregon when I came here. My ethnic studies teacher grew up. He's Latino, and he said his mom was American, his dad was Mexican, and his mom died when he was 11, and they were only allowed all of his life to live in the area with the Hispanic people. There was a section they were not allowed to look outside that section. They had it sort of zoned until like 1972, he said. Imagine that.
Yeah,
so that's
well,
Oregon.
Yeah,
so
our
I'm
constitution
shocked,
is racist.
My nephew, who does live in Southern California, basically stopped riding his car to go to work about 10 miles away from his house because he got stopped. He has an old beater Mercedes Benz he loves, but he's half black, so his skin
they probably thought he stole the car.
He got stopped online every time going to work, either going to work or coming home, almost every day.
Yeah.
It got to the point where
it's real.
It was the same people.
Yeah.
They knew who he was. They just stopped him every day. And you know what? He rides his bike. When he rides his bike, he still gets stopped. So what he does is he takes he rides to a certain level, gets on the bus, and rides past that certain zone so he can have a bike ride.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that outrageous? That's a person's consciousness in this country.
Right. It's how to avoid. How do you stay alive? And that's what that's about. What he's doing is how to stay alive, because his chances of survival here are exorbitantly lower than mine.
Yeah.
I want to tell you what Teresa Rayford has done, because she is the powerhouse behind change in this city, and yet even black organizations here won't stand in solidarity with her because she speaks the truth, because she is not part of a nonprofit that makes you not speak truth, which is most of our nonprofit system. So Teresa Rayford runs Don't Shoot Portland, and you can follow Don't Shoot Portland on Facebook under Don't Shoot Portland. And one of the just a few days ago, she went to Lobby Day in Salem, and they created a bunch of a whole team of lawyers with Teresa created six different bills that are being brought to the House and to the Senate of Oregon. And I want to read you them, because as far as an action goes, Lonnie, this would be the action. I can send you this so you can post it. But House Bill 2355 is end profiling and defelonize small-scale possession. HB 3391, Reproductive Health Equity Act. HB 2215 is the Right to Rest Act, and that protects the houseless. HB 2927 is the National Popular Vote Bill, which I have to say, I have no idea what that is, but I know that since it's come from the ACLU and Teresa, it's got to be a good thing, but I have to look that up. Now, SB, Senate Bill 496, Grand Jury Recording. This has to happen. We need recordings from the grand jury. We need all transcripts from the grand jury to come out. We need these things to be transparent, because what we know is that just like our DA here, they hire people to come in to ask, to give them leading questions to ask the jury. Like, for instance, how would you feel if, I'm just making this up because I haven't read the transcripts, but how would you feel if you were robbed by gunpoint in a car?
Right? Oh, yeah.
How would you feel if somebody got in your car with a gun and drove you around and, you know, scared you? And these are leading questions. These are the kinds of questions grand juries receive. And what happens is the grand juries always, after hearing only this one side, which are leading questions, which should be illegal and would be illegal if we had public records of what was being said at the time, that wouldn't be able to be permissible to the grand jury. And the reason that we have grand juries is so that kind of shit can happen and white cops can walk. And that's exactly what happens. And that's what happened with Quantas Hayes. And that's why Andrew Hurst, who, by the way, one more time, also killed a mentally ill man 2 years ago or 3 years ago, just murdered in the head as a sharpshooter with an AK-47, a 17-year-old who was never proven guilty of anything and who didn't have a gun. And the last bill is SB... I have to put my glasses on here. SB 82, which is End Youth Solidarity. Again, I don't know what that one is, but I have to look them up. So I'm going to send you those, because what we need to do
is this all on one page? Is that one link?
It's all on one page. It's one page. So I'll send this to you. It's from the ACLU. And we need to call. Just make the call. You just have to do, what is it, 6 calls. You don't have to call more than once, though if you do, cool. And you just have to tell them that I want this passed. Right? It's pretty easy. And in fact, those kinds of things apparently work. We've been seeing this more and more as people have been finding that these calls work. Yesterday, we had last week, a young man of Hispanic origin came here at age five, and had a DUI later in life. And the cops, the ICE unit, the deportation people, came to his house without a warrant. The family didn't know that if they don't have a warrant, do not open your door, demand a warrant. Right. They can't come in, but they didn't know that. And the ICE came in. And they took Ricardo out of his house and they put him into detention. Well, the call went out for all of us to call this specific number and tell this specific number to the person who answers that you want him released immediately. And yesterday, he was released. So I'm asking you all to make these calls once Lonnie posts this stuff, because we need a law that protects black people and black kids and black lives from this absolutely loaded, murderous system that brutalizes black lives. So if you've ever in your life in the last 10 years or 5 years of the, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement was happening, said Black Lives Matter, you need to do this. Because Black Lives Matter is not a slogan. It's not a concept. It's a reality. And if you don't help make that a reality with your whiteness, you are not able to say Black Lives Matter. And I want you to be able to say Black Lives Matter, because they do matter. And for those of you who still don't get it, saying Black Lives Matter does not mean your life doesn't matter. But nobody's going to come kill you when you're driving down the street and stop you like Lonnie's nephew because you're black, because you're not. So we need to protect the lives of the most vulnerable. And those lives are, you know, folks who are under the threat of, detention and
culture, Mimi.
Deportation.
That's what these laws are about.
This is how. This exactly. This is how you do that.
Oregon legislature. So, but even if you're not from Oregon, you could still call our legislature.
You can still call. Sure, you can.
Thank you for passing that, because we need you to be a leader for the rest of us. Because out here, we're living in the sticks, and we need to see a state like Oregon, who was set up to be a racist state for real. I mean, it is
right, for real.
It was shocking.
For real.
We can actually change and heal, because the truth is the people of Oregon are pretty sweet. This is not like how Oregon is. I think it shocks people. There's a lot of people that I find in Oregon, when they hear about it, they're like outraged. I mean,
so let me just give a really clear picture of what's going on right now with our cops. Okay, right now, after everything that I've said, we have our chief of police and his lieutenant are on leave. Why are they on leave? Well, they won't tell us. So, fortunately, there's a lot of people trying to get to the bottom of it. We believe that they are on leave because the DOJ made the police enforce a policy where they have to use a computer program which tells the police who on your force, on your own police force, is potentially dangerous, who is showing potentially dangerous patterns and behaviors that needs to be stopped, okay? That's what this thing is for. And what happened was, and this was a demand from the DOJ, that our cop use this. So last week, a fraudulent signature was put on the sign-up list of who went to that class. And the fraudulent, the person who committed fraud was this lieutenant. The person whose name he wrote was the chief of police, Marshman, is his name. Yes. So wait, let me just get through this, because I'll bring it up to today. So Chief Marshman, the chief of police, did not go to that meeting to learn how to use this system that tells you that people like Andrew Hearst, who killed Quanis Hayes, are dangerous to the community. He lied that he went. His main dude, his right-hand man, this lieutenant, signed his name lying that the chief was there. And wait, they lied to the interim group, which is the Chicago group that's in charge of making sure that they watch this thing. They lied to that group saying that they had all watched this. And the lie was caught. So Chief Marshman and his lieutenant were put on paid leave. So then yesterday, that other cop who I mentioned, maybe I just said this to you, Lonnie, before the show started. Yesterday, the retired cop who came back into the force, who made a racist comment, who was also on paid leave, is on paid leave. Okay, so we have now a cop, we have the chief of police, we have his lieutenant, all on paid leave, all around racism, okay? We don't need to watch that. We're not going to tell you what cop is dangerous to the community. Why would we do that? Because we are a fucking brotherhood. We're not going to do that, right? Well, they got busted. Now, regarding that officer who was retired, who is now on paid leave, that guy, the mayor has a moment right now or any time to fire that cop. He can just say, and the mayor said that. He said, it's up to me to decide what happens. And
wow.
Like, this guy has not been fired yet. Can you believe that in this situation, Quantas Hayes got killed February 9th. The family didn't get him back, did not get his body back for 2 months. They
what?
Kept him on ice in the morgue. Yes, Lonnie. And when they got him back, they found out about his death through Facebook because they didn't even call Venus, his mother, to tell her that they murdered his son. Okay?
Oh my
and
God.
And in the process, the cops went to city council last 2 weeks ago, 2 Wednesdays ago, to request a $2 to $4 million check from the city so they can buy live ammo to do target practice.
Right.
And that was the day, that was the week before Quantas Hayes' killer, Andrew Hearst, got off, no indictment. And then there was a funeral service for him just a few days ago. And his burial is going to be tomorrow. So all of this is happening, and yet the mayor has not fired one of these people. And it's in his charge to do that. And you know why he hasn't? He's owned by the union. He is owned by the cops. And I don't know what he's going to do, but my guess, and I'd put $100 to myself against myself on this bet, is that none of the three of them will be fired. They will all have, if any of them leave or retire, because they can do that, there'll be no fine, there'll be no punishment, there'll be nothing, because they won't be fired. And if they're fired, they'll still somehow get pay and pension. So it's not going to happen. If it happens, I'll be shocked. I'll pay myself $100 for betting against the other part of myself, you know, that bets the other way. But that's Portland, okay? That's Portland.
Well, that's America. Well, what we're talking about, Mimi, at the bigger level is the same issue we talk about in the nuclear industry. The lies over the actual harm it causes all life on this planet. That's the thing.
Yep.
It's the lies. They're killing our culture. It's the it's really the murder of integrity and honor and ethics. We don't want to have, like, the idea behind having a standing police department is to help you in case things happen. Your tree falls on your house, or, you know, the car accident happens. You want someone to come and help you. We don't want them hunting mm-hmm. down people and treating. I mean, the lies, the cover up is just choking our society. It has got to end. We can live as a peaceful nation. We do not have to live like this. I mean, that's mm-hmm. where I'm at. Like, we need to really, the activism is not just outrage at the lack of the injustice, but it's what we want is to create a culture where people get it, where they go, wow, this has really been wrong, and we haven't even seen it like that, and we're going to demand that we don't have prisons for profit. Jeff Sessions just opened up the prisons for profit thing. They had just outlawed it. It was one of the last things Obama did. And Jeff Sessions is like, well, enough of that. We're going back to the old system and throw them all in jail and make them work for us for 38 mm-hmm. cents an hour. You know, they want to work away. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, let's hire out their services and they can show us their contributing members of society, and we'll pay them 38 cents an hour and give them for time served. Like, it's just the whole system of, it's almost like Soylent Green, only we're not eating our bodies yet. You know what I mean? We're
yeah,
in this,
not yet. Instead of eating our bodies, we just eat oil.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you know, for people who eat
and
like
radiation.
How most people eat, you just start eating
and
oil and radiation, you know,
yeah.
in the form of food. It's just not eating people yet.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
Well, there has
yeah.
to be there is something we can do to create it. And I think that when we look for the higher good and refuse to get bogged down in that lower element and demand integrity, like, we need to hold them accountable.
We really do. And you know what? Our mayor said to me, to groups of us, where I was, to other people, I'm glad that you're going to hold us accountable. Do that. And then we do that. Because we weren't going to do it anyway. you know? And when we do that, then what happens is they don't like how we do that, because you're supposed to play by some ambiguous, unwritten law of white culture where you're supposed to be polite. You know? Yeah, man, you're supposed to be polite. And you can't call out. Well, you know what? When you're killing kids because they're black, and you're killing mentally ill because you don't understand them, and you're framing people saying that they got guns when you know they don't have guns, when you know the guns that were found near them were, you know, fingerprinted because you put that gun on their dead hands, you know, and then put that gun beside them, and God, so on and so on and so on. We're gonna speak out. When you let people who live on the streets and in fields outside with no housing die and freeze to death and you don't care, we're going to speak out. And we're going to speak out in any way that gets change to occur. And I think that there are 100 ways. And that is, if there's 100 of you and any particular 100 of you have your own way to do that, then that's 100 ways to make this change happen. You know, because every single one of those is a right move. It's for right action. And Mimi, it doesn't mean that you got to do.
Did you not show up? Were you the person, you and your friends, you showed up at a city council meeting as the Fukushima geishas? The geishas?
Yeah,
the
that was geishas? Actually, I showed up. Yeah, the geisha of death appeared.
Geisha of death, yes.
Yeah, the geisha of death appeared at. It was actually bigger than city council. It was NRC meetings and meetings from the NTSB boards and, you know, things like that. So, yes.
I love you. Thank you.
But, you know, I mean, like
That's
anything,
awesome.
a phone call is a radical move. Okay? Be radical. Radical means roots. Be at the roots of this. Understand the issue here, that if you're safe and somebody else isn't safe, you either just suck or you can admit that nobody's safe. You know?
This is the deal.
And so what is your way of thinking about it?
They think that not calling is pointless. What's the point of calling? It's not going to change anything.
We have just found that calling works. Now, you know, I mean, and again, if calling isn't your bag, show up. If calling isn't your bag, write a letter. If calling isn't your bag, talk about Qantas Hayes and what the hell you just heard on Lonnie's radio show, you know, and talk to your friends about it. Sure, you can tell your friends that this crazy white woman is telling all you white people that maybe you're not doing enough to help out black people because you're really, really comfortable. Tell them that. Start that conversation. But if you keep it at a racist place, man, you're the problem, whether you want to believe it or not. And I'd like to think that the people who listen to Lonnie's show aren't those people. But there's always one of those people somewhere. And the reason I know that is I read comments from liberals on these news articles about our own community. These are white liberals in my city who think that they are politically correct, who think that they're intelligent, who think that they're not racist. And they are making the most racist comments about, well, why do you need to show up like that? Why do you need to have a protest about that? These are racist. These are racist thoughts. It's a racist thought process, because if that was a white kid of middle to upper to, you know, 1% class, you'd be all about it. And that's why it's racist.
Yeah,
I'm
well,
furious.
It's the lack of understanding. But it's also the same. It's the hyper masculinity. It's the whole Western thing. That's that whole thing about where we're putting people in America. The idea is so provincial. Like we're a very isolated nation. We don't have other cultures, except when people come into our culture intermingling, and there's such resistance. It has to be that whole misogyny, racist thing at the very core, as if that's acceptable.
Right. Right.
And I think it does matter that we share and talk and take action, because as we do that, we change.
It does matter. Yeah.
And we also change our own internal We also it's a process of us confronting our own limitations and our own propaganda that we've believed all of our lives also. So
That's right.
that's the thing, it's all a sharing, but really the oppression, it's so much, Mimi, that light bulb I had that went on about how it's exactly the same lies of the nuclear industry, the technology
Right.
industry, the lying that lives don't matter. And in particular, people of indigenous Black lives, non-whites especially, don't matter. Look at what
The
they did with
difference is
Marshall Islands.
there's a difference, and the difference is it's not the lie that's the difference. That's the same. The reasons are different.
Right.
On what
That's
you're
right.
talking about, the reasons are because they want money. You know, you're talking corporations, and the corporations want money. And there's a little bit of intersectionality with the racist issue because of the prison system, which is another corporation which wants money. But as far as death to Black people in general by cops, that is purely racist run. That is a
KKK
direct line.
agenda
Yeah,
to
that is a
keep it
direct
alive.
line to slavery. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, everybody gets lied to. But one is for money all the way across, and the other is partially for money for sure, because the prison system is so damn expensive, you know, and they make billions and trillions from keeping blacks in jail, you know. And yeah. I just wanted to say that there's a slight difference between the two, you know, because one is absolutely racially motivated.
Yeah. Well,
And
they
that's a
actually
disease.
do it intentionally. It is done intentionally. It is actually.
Yeah, it is.
And I mean, and it's propagated intentionally, and the lies are intentional. The cover up, of course. I mean, the whole thing is about creating a system of inequity and injustice. I mean,
Exactly.
that's
And
the.
keeping it that way. Like, they don't even
Yeah.
need to create that. It is
And so
that way, and
people
they need
think
to
that
keep it
it's
that
that
way.
we're able to work through the process and get a. This is the thing. Unless we talk about it, we're not going to see through the lies that pretend that we're
That's
actually
right.
changing things and it's all being better. Because, no, if the police can actually harass Black people in every city across the United States randomly, and it's only getting worse since Trump Nation happened, that's not us becoming a liberated or even working towards liberation, non-oppression. That's really what we're talking about, is non-oppression.
And you know, we had an interesting thing happen. I know your show's almost over, but our city went to recognize itself as a sanctuary city last week. And they're protesting, not against becoming a sanctuary city, because that's, you know, first of all, it doesn't really do anything. But secondly, you know, we get that deportation can happen. That's a given. Nobody's fighting against that. But what isn't happening is equality for all, sanctuary for all, sanctuary for our Black community, which is being. Their children's heads are being blown into with bullets while the cops demand $2 to $4 million more dollars for live ammo for target practice, you know,
Right.
so that they can again have such sharpshooters in that target practice to kill people like Quanis Hayes over and over and over again. And there's no sanctuary for the Black community here. None. Zero. Absolute zero. What you get here is you're a mom of a kid who's been murdered by the cops, and you have to find out about it on Facebook. That's what
Wow.
we get here. And so there was an uproar last week about sanctuary and such racism against the Black community for demanding their own rights to not be killed and to have a space here where they don't need to fear the cops like that. And the mayor responds by saying in his State of the City speech the following 2 days later on Friday that he wants to foster a
Oh, man.
community where people are not afraid of the cops. Yeah.
Thanks, Mimi. I thought we could get it in. Put your parachute
Oh,
on.
it's
Thanks for
cool.
joining us. Bye-bye.
My name is S.M. Gibson.